Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Well, I don't know who to who the boy band is.
Go on.
Because I was never into boy bands.
Oh,
I
did you see so were.
Oh, well, it was not. Okay, maybe it was. I did. I never saw myself in a boy band. Do you know what I mean? So, anyway.
Okay, go on. What's
from
the
Black
song?
Sabbath.
Sure. What's the song that you got in your mind?
You know, I can't remember. You know, you're just, and you don't want to sing it because if you sing it too loud and it's really wrong, it's like really
fucking
loud.
That's always the way with you.
Just by saying I love you.
That,
yeah,
Mitchie,
is
extreme.
Extreme.
More than words.
Very good.
And do you know how I know?
More than
words to know you feel that your love for me is real. What would you say?
Okay, I'm not. See, why I should have been in a fucking boy band.
You know what? I'm not.
You see that shit? Did you hear that shit?
I did. I had something to say in my mind, and I'm like, now after I've sung that, it's a bad thing to say. But that's actually my go-to karaoke song.
Is it?
It is, because I can sing it. It's in my range. It doesn't go too high, too low. I love it. So that's my go-to karaoke song. And everyone, every time I sing it, they're like...
Yeah. It's funny. I listen to some people's go-to karaoke songs, you know, when it's an Irish song. And then suddenly people are, you know, so racist because suddenly they think they're Irish and they put on this Irish accent. Okay. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's terrible. So I always back it up with Stairway from Heaven as a Chinese person.
Oh, no.
Cause she's bringing a stairway to heaven. There is nothing funnier than a Chinese person singing Stairway to Heaven. And I'm not being racist. I'm not being racist. But it is very funny. And that seems to be China's karaoke go-to song.
How do you know that?
Because every time... Remember we used to eat in that restaurant? Remember we used to eat in that restaurant?
Oh, we did in Melbourne.
And every time the most played song on the list was Stairway to Heaven.
Tasha's leaving. She thinks they're going to get... They loved us.
I mean, we ate in that restaurant up until we could go out there for like 15 years.
We can go back to the Chinese restaurant.
That's right. I love it. It's just the best Chinese restaurant ever.
It was really good.
Do you know how you know a good Chinese restaurant?
Yeah, because there's a lot of Asian...
Fucking loaded with Chinese people. Yeah,
because they all love it.
Anyway,
that's totally off topic to what we were talking. Why are we...
You know what song's going to be in everybody's head now?
It's Stairway to Heaven.
Stairway to Heaven.
Instead of my song. Yeah. More than words. So do you think that will help?
Yeah, but there's nothing worse than an American person pretending they're Irish and singing an Irish song.
Okay.
It's just as... That's terrible.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? It's really awful.
Are you going to demonstrate that now?
No, because how do you... I am Irish. How do I begin and then pretend that I'm Irish?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
That's
possible.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what do you want to talk about today after that?
Well, I was talking I was thinking about this whole concept of...
we want to share a little bit about how we've been... What's happened for us at the end of last year.
Well, I mean, look at what's happened overall, I think, in terms of communication. And one of the things I've realised that... people can fall victim to in their businesses, in their relationships, in their friendships. And it's one of the things that happens with people when they are in a business and rather than saying, I don't want to be here anymore, or rather than saying, I don't know how to communicate this message, what happens is they come with emotion. Do you know what I mean? They come with they don't come with the problem, they come with the emotion of the problem. And how that sounds is like a person will come and say, you know, I'm feeling this, you know, I'm kind of feeling this energy in the organization of this. And the problem is, like, how do you work with that? How do you work with somebody coming and saying to you, you know, I kind of feel like the energy here is this, 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 and this.
Well, they don't even have to say that the energy. They still just have to say, I'm feeling
I'm
X,
getting this
Y, Z,
feeling of blah.
So, or even I'm feeling sad or frustrated or whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine, but in terms of trying to have an outcome to... one thing if you're just sitting with someone and you need a vent for a minute. Mm. That's one thing. But if you actually want to come... If you're coming to me to find a resolution and to figure out what's happened and to sort something out, that is not going to, that's not going to help, right?
But I think for years, you know, I fell victim to that. And when I say fell victim, I was, you know, on the other side of that. And for years it would frustrate me, like, how the fuck do I sort this out? And then I had, I decided that I needed to, okay, this is a problem. Because it felt like whenever you got to sort it out, what are you sorting out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you trying to help the person with their personal emotional issues?
Yes.
Or are you actually sorting out what's causing this? 100%. Does that make sense? And a lot of the time people, you know, you have to, especially in business, you have to be able to go, right, if you have a personal emotional issue, then that's fine. We can deal with that.
Yeah.
And I can help you with that.
Yeah.
Or I can refer you somewhere because I know how to do that. But if there's a problem, you need to tell me what the nuts and bolts of the problem are.
Yes.
Because otherwise you're chasing ghosts. Yes. Otherwise you're trying to grab clouds. You're trying to fix things that it's not possible.
Yes.
Now, a lot of the time when you stop and you knuckle down on what the problem is, you know, you have to be able to provide a solution.
Yes.
You know, so tell me, so how do you knuckle down on what a problem? What's the problem? When did it happen? How did it happen? Where did it happen? Who was involved? What was said? And then hearing that side of the story, right?
Yeah.
Then if there's somebody else involved, you have to go and hear their side of the story, but only after you've let the person say what the problem is and you've given them the chance to sort it out.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? It's a bit like, so when you do that, so what I found a great way to handle it is to say exactly that. Tell me when it happened, how it happened, who was involved, where it happened, how long ago that it happened. But then empowering the person to say, okay, can you come up with a solution to this? And do you feel you're able to approach the person that's involved in what has gone on,
mm-hmm,
and open a line of communication and share with them what you're sharing with me,
mm-hmm,
to see if both of you can actually work this out or, mm-hmm, nut this out?
Mm-hmm.
So I think when that sort of stuff happens, it's important to empower the person. Does, yes, that make sense?
So I think what we're saying, though, is what happens is that when somebody's like, I'm feeling this, you're annoying me, or any of that sort of stuff that is the emotion that's running, mm-hmm, the statements, what we're getting is the emotion and we're not getting the truth underneath the emotion. So that doesn't mean that the emotion isn't real for you and that you're, yep, not feeling it and all that sort of stuff. And I think that I think any business as well, but specifically for us, we're a personal development,
yeah,
place. We specialize in human development. So it can be very easily to be seen that what we do, we're going to deal with that emotional stuff. But we do that, but there's a time and a place and a location where we deal with that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to in our day-to-day interactions, we can't lead with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something that we can lead with. So what is underpinning that emotion is a situation that's happened or a circumstance that, because we're emotional, we're not giving voice to.
Yeah.
And so when we, instead of leading with that emotion, we can lead with the time, the space, the reality of what's happened to see if we can solve the issue at hand.
Yeah.
So if somebody has got something going on, and let's say they're feeling that there's a low self, that they're feeling that they're unappreciated or unloved or not good enough or something else, right? Mm-hmm. And they've got that going on, and then something happens to help fuel that, and they lead with the I'm not good enough, da da da, and I'm feeling sad or I'm feeling all of this. What ends up happening is there's no resolution. There's no resolution to the actual problem.
Yeah, right? Of course.
So if we put that aside, not diminishing it, not making it like, oh, that's not important, the way you feel is not important, but let's deal with actually what happened. Because what happens is that our brains literally fill the gaps. That if we see something happen and we've got this perception of I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, whatever, we will see a situation and it will seem to us to play back and to reflect back our own not good enoughness. Would,
yeah,
you agree?
Yeah.
So if we're doing that and we're not, when we look through that filter, we're not seeing the whole picture. Instead of going, hey, this is actually what happened, this is what I see to be the problem and this is what I see to be the resolution to the, mm-hmm, problem, then you're empowered instead of run by your emotions.
Yeah.
And then if you've still got the emotion going on.
So being run by your emotions is being ruined by your emotions.
100%.
Relationships get ruined by emotional states because nothing can be dissolved when a person's emotional, as we say all the time.
Yeah.
You cannot negotiate with a drunk.
Yes.
When people bring you drunk emotions, you're not able to negotiate with that.
Yes.
So this is what I'm saying. Put the emotion aside. If we need to deal with that, we'll deal with it. But let's see what actually happened.
And what we noticed is as soon as we, because we, you know, over the years, we've had to build policies and procedures because we learn things through our process. Through working with people for years, we've learned things, policies in terms of clients, we have to do policies in terms of staff. We've had to do that over the years, right? But in terms of doing that, we learn through seeing what doesn't work and then we figure out, okay, this is what does work. As soon as we implement the fact that there's an issue, let's deal with the issue. Doesn't mean we don't care about the emotion, but let's just deal with the issue. When we deal with the issue, the emotion actually kind of dissipates because we've dealt with the truth of the matter instead of dealing with the esoteric, I can't touch aspect of it, which is I feel sad or I'm not good enough or I'm feeling a bad energy or whatever. If the emotion is still there, then we can go away and we can deal with that. That's another aspect that we can deal with. Okay, I've sorted this out over here and this is what the situation is. I think not good enough. Then I can go and I've got tools to deal with it.
Dealing with the nuts and bolts allows you to make sense of emotion when emotion is senseless.
100%.
So when you make sense of something, it tends to turn the emotion into sense less. So it's... you're less sensitive around it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why bringing logic into the equation is very, very important. Yeah. But emotions in any situation are there for the purpose of getting you back into a state of understanding and clarity and empowerment, and that's what emotions are. When a person comes to you with emotions, all they're saying to you is, I'm not empowered enough to be able to actually put some logic on this and work it out.
Yes.
And so... as a mentor or a father or any of that stuff, you're a mother or a parent or a boss or anything, your objective is to understand that the emotion is not what you need to deal with. You need to put the emotion aside in any conflict situation. And the way to
talk
manage...
about the practicalities
okay,
of
what actually happened. Get down to the nuts and bolts and how are you perceiving... and in how are you perceiving this? And in how you're perceiving it, what exactly is going on about what occurred? So that, and then when you hit, the other thing is that when a person hears themselves say it, they desensitize it.
Yes.
So the more, this is why whenever you have something traumatic happen, like a great example is you have a baby.
Yeah.
You go down to the pub, you see your mates and you're just like fucking telling them the story. Oh my God, I had her foot on my hip and I had the hand on my, her hand on my hand and then she was pushing and then the baby, saw the baby's crown and they tell the whole story and then they tell it again and then they tell it again. And the reason they keep telling it is to dissipate the elation, which is an emotion, around what has just occurred so they can make sense of it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So they, and that's a very primal thing, you know. The man many years ago, you know, when we were banging each other in the head with bones, would be kept away from the birth.
Yeah.
The females would handle it because they handle the emotion differently. Does that make sense? Yeah. The masculine was always considered to be the logical and helped to really complement the emotional side of things. Yeah. Not to say that both masculine and feminine haven't got logical and emotional sides, because they do. But we're at a different era now where both need to be involved.
I think that with, you know, with that whole...
So what about relationships? Can I talk about how it happens in my
just
relationship?
Just remind me to talk to you about...
No, go do it. And you remind me.
Okay. We have to understand that the emotions are there for a purpose. You touched on this before. When we are emotional, it's designed to bring us back to the true sense of ourselves. I was... a very emotional person. Still am. I'm an emotional person. But back in the day, the more unclear I was, the more emotional I was. And I know, but I used that as my guiding light to say, okay, that's something I need to look at. That's something I need to work on, right? But when we are clear and when we're truthful about what's happening, we are able to balance our emotions. And so we're not saying that emotions are bad. We're saying we're not saying emotions are bad. We're saying use them to help you to get to a point where you can understand what's actually happening. But when you're in that point of balance of your emotions, it's like that's when you're powerful, like you've said it already, but you feel like you have a sense, like anyone who's done any work with us will understand that, you know, we do equilibrations to help people balance out their emotions, because when you can balance out your emotions, you actually get a new promotion in life. You get to be able to have more, be more. It's like you're saying to the universe, I can handle this. Mm-hmm. Instead of going, I'm trying to touch airy fairy clouds of feelings and fairy dust, what you're saying is, this is what's happened and this is how I'm handling it. This is my qualities and characteristics to be able to cope with that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So because of that, we get given more, because the more we're able to handle whatever level of emotion that we're being given, we're able to go, okay, now what's more? What's the next step? And it really shows you the measure of yourself. It shows you the truth about yourself, instead of trying to get other people to understand something about you, that the goalposts are moving at every moment. All the time. Like, oh, I'm feeling about this. Yeah, but what about this? No, let's be real about it. And then we can work with that. The rest of that will take care of itself.
But that's what it's important to understand, that that's what emotions are there to do. Yeah. They're there to drive you back into that state of reality.
Yes.
So that you can learn from what's happened and evolve in your behavior and encourage other people to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And then you unite. I mean, we've seen it here. There's, you know, when we saw what was going on in the organization, that we were just chasing clouds all the time. I get this feeling that this is happening. I get the feeling that that's happening. As soon as we put policies into place, you know, we knew, as soon as we have policies in place and then procedures to follow.
Yes.
So that when there's any discourse within the organization, then what will happen at that moment is the people who are able to adapt to that will stick around, and the people who aren't will move on.
And the funny thing is that you would think that that made us less compassionate, because it's just like nuts and bolts, but it actually made us more compassionate.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon?
Yeah.
Because instead of dealing with stuff that we couldn't deal with, we actually had real live, this is what's going on, let's sort that problem out. And if I'm going to encourage and empower you to sort that problem out, and if you can't, that's okay, I'm here to help support that.
Yeah.
But it actually made us more compassionate and more understanding towards one another, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
It really helped us to step up to another level.
Yeah.
We've been communicating to the staff about that as well, about the fact that, and that's not just it within the staff, that makes us better in terms of everything, in terms of the clients, in terms of what we give, you know?
Yeah, but I think also, I mean, I think also in terms of relationships, when people have relationships where, you know, they keep turning up with emotions. Do you know what I mean? They keep turning up with, oh, this emotion is going on and this is going on and I just feel this and I just... No, if you're bringing that to your partner, you have a subconscious, innate desire not to be in the relationship. So what you think then, okay, if I leave, I'm going to get a more evolved relationship, but you're not. You're going to get the same scenario because you haven't evolved.
Yes.
So if you understand that if you're going to enter a relationship with emotion, you know, you're not encouraging that intuitive resolution mechanism inside of you and your partner to connect and work things out. And relationships are about working things out. You know, we're information gatherers and problem solvers. For every fucking problem we solve, we get a new problem.
Yeah.
And it's same in the relationship. So your objective is don't bring emotion into the relationship, bring nuts and bolts.
Yes.
And then you'll get clear, and then you'll be able to systemize and get used to the system of how you handle problems in the relationship, and that evolves you in the relationship instead of dissolving the relationship.
The emotions are a scapegoat to actually talking about what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm talking about, oh, I'm feeling like you're never here and I'm feeling like you're disconnected, what you're really trying to say is, when you left and when you walked away that time, I felt like, you know, this is what happened. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're avoiding the truth about it, because you know that that's part of that is going to make you feel vulnerable. But once it's the truth, you're better off actually just expressing it, dealing with it, and then you can actually deal with the ramifications that come from that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other than that, you're just, again, you're grasping at clouds. Oh, I've never done that. You've never done that.
No, I don't do that in my relationship.
No, you don't do that.
No
ever, way. Ever. And it's the same with our kids as well. It's like,
I had a problem with Lexi during the week.
Yeah.
And when she came out, Lexi was upset, and she gets into the car, and then I come home. And when I come home, no, I hadn't heard about it. I came in the front door, and when I walked in the front door, what I was met at the front door with was, I'm fucking going down to that school, and I'm going to get those two little shits, and I'm going to drag them out in front of their parents, and blah, blah, blah. Because Angela's just from Dublin, man. This is how you do it. It's both, you've got a problem?
It's
both barrels.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, whoa. Tell me what happened. So it turns out that two kids in her class, in Lexi's class, she perceived were bullying her. So Lexi sat down with mum and said, okay, mum said, tell me what went on, what they've been doing. So she told Ange what had happened and what they'd been doing. And so I said, no, same with Ange, tell me what actually happened. So she told me what actually happened. Then she said to me, I've emailed the school teacher, the principal. So the school teacher. And Ange is really clear. You know, we come from Dublin, rough end of town. Bullying over there was bad. You know, it was bad. So we didn't want that for our kids. So he got back
not
to us that night.
Not just that. It's not just that. It's the fact that Lexi is not the... You've taught her how to stand up for
herself. Yeah, physically, no problem.
Yeah, but not even just physically, even emotionally. She's pretty resilient.
Yeah.
But when... It affects her, you know, it's not,
you know,
it's gone past that point. It's not like
able to handle it. And there was two of them in on it, you know, there was two of these kids in on it and causing this
problem. It's past the point where they've said one little thing. It's actually gone to a point where Lexi, who doesn't get affected like that, got affected.
Yeah. So he rang me, and what I noticed was, I mean, my objective was to let him know. So here's, you know. It's funny, that morning I'm out riding with two of my buddies who are both headmasters. Mm. And I said to them, how do you handle it? And they're like, oh, what school is she in? And I told them the school. And they're like, okay, so here's how they should be handling in that school. Mm. So I knew going into the conversation how this should be handled by the school. Now, both my mates said to me, you can't go down and handle it. You have to let him do it first. And then if he doesn't do it on the first hit, then you go down and handle it. Mm. But there are policies to bullying. They really, in most schools, do not tolerate it. It's like, okay, sit the two kids down, go through all the way in which they communicate, they sign off on it. If it happens again, you're suspended for 7 days. Now, that's tough. I'm like, holy moly, that's how you guys do it in your school. They said, yes, but that won't be how you do it, and that won't be how they're doing it in Lexi's school. So I spoke to the school teacher, and I just got the nuts and bolts. And so I knew the nuts and bolts of what had happened. I said to him, tell me what you saw. He said, well, you know, I saw a hand to a face. I saw Lexi was upset. I asked her how she was. She said she was okay, didn't really tell me anything. And I said, okay, so here's what we've got from home. And I said to him, I said, what's your policy on bullying? How do you sort out your bullying? What's your bullying policy? So they told me, he told me a little bit about how he was going to handle it, and then I left it with him. But what I noticed was many years ago,
okay.
Like I'd have gone in, I'd have dragged the two kids and him out by the ear. Do you know what I mean? And I'd have dragged all of them down to the headmaster, and then I'd have grabbed the headmaster by the tie, and I'd have pulled him out onto the lawn. And, you know, that's just how you operated. Does that make sense? But logically sitting down and understanding that there's a solution to this.
Yeah.
And there is a solution.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? When you can get the emotion out of the way. Yeah, I remember years ago, I went into one of the school teachers, same problem, one of the school teachers yelled at Lexi, and I went into the headmistress.
She
said to me, you know, all moms and dads turn into lions and lionesses when there's something going on with their children. And I looked at her and I said, you are patronizing the wrong person right here. I said, understand something. If I have to sort this out, you will feel the weight of it and it will be relentless. And so she was like, okay, Mr. Bean, okay, Mr. And it got sorted out straight away. And in fact...
You've definitely evolved since
then. Yeah, I have evolved. But in fact, I went down and I spoke to the teacher, and she was lovely, you know. It's just she was loud and she yelled at Lexi and put her name on the board and like did some stuff like, why are you singling out a kid? And I got... to my kid. But then from that point on, she was great. But I think what I realized in that moment is that I saw Lexi coming out of the school unhappy.
Yeah.
And that's my job to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Do you know
that
what I mean?
Step up in terms of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because it's
and
not
do
just
it logically,
about,
without
and it's
emotion
not just that. It's about handling. That's exactly how it is when you're dealing with kids' emotions. And what happens is if we're not able to handle and separate our emotions from who we are, then we're not able to help them to do the same thing.
Yep.
And it's about going, okay, this is, that doesn't mean you don't allow them to feel it, but then when it's time, you can, we can be really practical and logical about it to help them. But that only happens when we can do it ourselves. And we, as with everything with kids, you've got to lead the way.
Yep.
But it's the same with work as well. We have to lead the way. Because when we were allowing that for ourselves, we allowed it for other people. When we don't allow it for ourselves, we don't allow it for other people. Does that make sense?
Yep.
It's very – and I just – I feel very grateful because I feel like a lot has shifted, you know, as a result of being able to have those conversations and also understanding. I think sometimes it's really important to understand that you can have those conversations. You can have those real conversations that say – this happened, I didn't like this because this is what happened as a result of that. But there's a solution. Knowing, going in, knowing there's a solution. Mm. But when you go in with and you lead with your emotions, that doesn't – and I've had a massive realizations over the last 6 months around that as well, just about the fact that we talk about – over and over again, we talk about our finances and we don't lead with our emotions, with our finances. Let a system run the finances.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same fucking thing with our communication, with health, with whatever. It's
what's your system around?
What's the system around it? How? Mm-hmm. What? Rather than using your emotions to lead the way, those emotions of I'm not good enough, I don't know, you know, whatever. Instead of letting that lead the way, let the system lead the way. The system will take care of itself.
Yeah.
And then, if you're noticing the emotions come up, then you can deal with them as a separate issue. Other than that, you've got a process in place to get ahead.
Mm.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, that's good. That's some good stuff. I reckon we've saved many children's lives there and also lots of marriages and some businesses as well.
You reckon?
Yeah.
More than words to make you feel that your love for me is real.
That's amazing. Oh, she's bright.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.